Welcome back, Rotor Ballers. It's the Fantasy Bomb, and we're here to talk fantasy football, of course, and have something different today on tap. Talk about a newer type of league called Guillotine Leagues. And the strategy for this is completely different from anything you've probably played before. So we're going to talk about some possible strategies and give you our take on how to approach them if you decide to try one of these new leagues. Chris, I think you'll like it because you know what? There's no kickers. All right, let's drop the bomb.
It's the Fantasy Bob.
All right, welcome back. As always, I'm Pierre Camus, lead editor at Rotoballer. With me is Chris Mangano, head writer, NFL, head podcaster, and head guillotine master at Rotoballer. Chris, what's your experience with guillotine leagues, though? What do you feel like you have to do? Because it's like they call them different names. There's eliminator leagues, there's guillotine. You might call it something else. What do you know about these leagues?
I've played in eliminator leagues. I've never played in an actual guillotine league, but they definitely sound fun. They sound like something that would be pretty crazy and pretty fun.
Different, right? Different, and that's the
Yeah.
thing, guys. You know, we talk about dynasty, best ball, right? Redraft, all sorts of different types, DFS. So guillotine is just another twist, right? Just a little different twist on fantasy football leagues. So let me give you the basics here, break it down. So in an eliminator, at least the way that we've heard them phrased, you can do it for best ball, a best ball eliminator where you're just like a best ball league, except that the lowest scoring team every week is eliminated. Pretty easy. A guillotine league is basically that, but the difference is that it's redraft. In other words, you draft your team, you can still set your lineups, you still do waivers, you still do all the normal stuff, but every week the lowest team is eliminated. So you still have the power and the control. But here's the thing that makes it interesting is once that team is eliminated, those players are available. And you can pick up some pretty good players every week throughout the season, assuming you survive. So, talk about the strategy here. What are some things that you would think you would want to do, first of all, in the draft? Do you want to try to play it safe early because you don't want that week one, week two L? I mean, how safe do you play, or do you go for guys who have more upside because you want to try to get those bigger points? I mean, how should you change your draft strategy for a guillotine league?
Yeah, I think I'd play a little safer in the early rounds, especially. I wouldn't want to take, if I had the choice between like a Julio Jones or a Dalvin Cook, I'd probably take a Julio Jones. It's because I know what I'm gonna get with Julio Jones. Dalvin Cook, there's a lot of expectations for Dalvin Cook, but we've never really seen Dalvin Cook, in a full season. We don't really know. A little more uncertainty there. Not that I don't like Dalvin Cook, just a little more uncertainty. So I'd play a little safer in that sense. And same within the later rounds. I mean, I wouldn't want those guys because since it's not best ball, since you have to set your own lineup, I don't want those guys where I have to think like, ooh, do I play this guy or this guy? I'd rather just take those safe points because really you just want to survive. You got to survive, right? You take the L, you're done. Your season's over. It's not like, oh, I take the L, but maybe I'll win next week. No, you're done. The season is over. So you got to avoid the L, especially in week one. Because then you can, because whoever loses, they're gonna have some really good players on their team. It's just a fact. I mean, assuming they didn't draft like monkeys, right? They're gonna have a first rounder, they're gonna have a second rounder on their team, they're gonna have a third rounder on their team. So, you can improve your team pretty quickly.
Right. And sometimes, especially early in the season, a guy who loses might be somebody who, he has that first round pick who blew his ACL, first series of the season. Might be a guy who, for some reason, just didn't fit with his new team, right? Off to a bad start. So you're not always going to find value right away. So here's the next question. How do you spend your fab? Like when that player who was a complete bust in week one or week two, is available. What if he was a second or third round pick? Do you spend up to get that player, or do you play it safe because maybe that player is going to continue to bust? And then you got to save some money, presumably for later, but That's if there is later. So, I, you know, like how much do you spend week one, week two on your fab if you survive?
I think for me, it would depend on how good my team did in week one. Like if I feel really good about my team after week one, and let's say, let's say last year he drafted David Johnson in the first round. So he lost, right? I'll let somebody else, if I feel really good about my team after week one, I'll let somebody else blow all their fab on David Johnson. Right. And I'll wait till week two to see who becomes available. Now, of course, if something happened, like let's say he drafted Christian McCaffrey, but the rest of his team was terrible, I'll blow all my fab on Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that's the type of talent you got to just, when he's available, you got to get him. Like, again, you can't play the waiting game here because you lose 1 week, your dud season's over. Like, you have to play for right now. Like, you have to, if a bona fide stud like that becomes available, you got to try to get him. If I didn't feel good about my team, if maybe I was the second to last score or the third to last score, where I'm like, man, my team's not very good, then you just got to take your chances and you got to grab his second rounder or third rounder and hope they pan out, even if they busted that week, or his first rounder, because you're already on the cusp of going out. If you don't feel very strongly, if the team you drafted doesn't look very good, you can't wait around and say, well, I'll wait till, you know, Christian McCaffrey becomes available or Ezekiel Elliott becomes available, because you might not be around when they do.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know who's going out either each week. So that's the thing. Okay, so to me, by the way, we have to mention, so these are 16-team leagues. It's going to be pretty thin to start out with, right? So you're going to have to improve your roster at some point. You're going to need to, you know, fill a spot here and there. To me, though, by the time you get to, let's say, week six or so, or you got to like a regular league size, you should have a really good player at each spot, especially because some of those players have become available. So once you get past, like, let's say week six or seven, I'm not saving up my money if a player comes available, right? Because, yeah, you got to save a little bit because of maybe injury or something like that, or, you know, whatever happens. But I'm spending the majority of my fab by that point, because I'd say by the time you're halfway through the season, if you don't feel really solid with who you have already, you're probably not going to win, right? At that point, either you screwed up your draft, you screwed up your free agency or something. But if you don't have one of those anchor guys already, one of those really top 10 players, it's probably not going to happen. So I would not hesitate to spend early if possible, but only if it's a major upgrade. So that's the thing. So if you have a guy, let's say, let's say even low end RB, let's say you got like a Devontae Freeman, right, at running back, and then somebody like Melvin Gordon comes available. Melvin Gordon, of course, first round pick. Is he a massive upgrade over Devontae Freeman? Probably not, right? In the end, it's not going to be that big an upgrade that I'm going to spend a third of my budget on him. So, you know, of course, it always depends on your roster.
Yeah. I think that's the main thing. I think if you just happen to draft a great team, you can be more patient, right? You can be a little more patient with your fab. But if you come out of the draft and, you know, maybe, you know, you eke by week one and you eke by week two, you can't just expect to keep eking by until, you know, whoever becomes available. You got to start making moves, right? You got to start making things happen, because you're going to get eliminated and it's going to be over for you. So I think it really depends on how you feel about your team after the draft, because, you know, after the draft, we think we have it figured out. And the season starts, we realize, oh, we don't have it figured out. And you have to reevaluate everything, right? But if you happen to come out of the draft, like if last year you came out of the draft with, you know, if you drafted maybe early and you got Zeke and then you got Adam Thielen and maybe somebody like, I don't know who would have been around in a 16 teamer there, maybe Kelsey, I don't know, maybe Travis Kelsey. I think that's about where he was going last year, right? Or maybe Zach Ertz, somebody like that. You might be feeling really good about your team. You might be like, hey, I'm good. I have three studs on my team, right? So you can be a little more patient. But if you don't, you can't wait around. You can't be patient. You got to spend that money. And when those studs become available, you got to grab them.
Yeah, definitely. Certain players you can't pass up on. It's also, what's interesting is it becomes a really massive bidding war every week, because it's not just these guys who maybe had a good week. You're not sure if they're worth picking up. You know, that these newcomers on the waiver wires, it's guys that are pro bowlers, right? All stars, fantasy studs. Yeah. And that's who you're bidding for and everybody's in on the action. So it really makes every week that much more interesting. And so I hate to generalize, but just talking position-wise, because you mentioned tight ends and talk about running backs, do you feel like there's a certain way to go draft-wise that, like for the first round, for example, are you really trying to secure that high-end running back because they're so much more valuable? Or are you kind of staying away? Like you said, would you be more tempted to go with a guy like Julio Jones or Michael Thomas because of that floor, because they're so much safer? Is this a league where you would tend to play it safe early on?
Yeah, I would definitely play it safer early on. I probably would have the same draft strategy I would have in any draft right now, which is if I can get one of those locked in, no doubt about it, four or five guys, 4th of July starting early, apparently, in my neighborhood. If I could get one of those, you know, locked in, talking McCaffrey, Zeke, Saquon, Kamara. Am I forgetting somebody?
Todd Gurley.
I can forget somebody. Probably not, because Gurley's even a little sketchy right now. If I can get one of those guys, I'm getting one of those guys. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to take one of these other running backs like Joe Mixon, James Conner, even though I really like James Conner, Melvin Gordon. Like these guys who are like probably going to be the guy, but you don't know. I'd rather take a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, who I know are the guys on their teams wide receiver. I'd rather grab those safer guys. So probably the same strategy I would have in any league where if I can't get one of those top, you know, guaranteed locked in every down type running backs, I'm going the other way and taking the safer wide receivers.
Okay, so you're not changing your draft strategy too much. You still want the best player, but within reason.
Yeah, I would, like, whereas in a redraft league, I might take James Conner over, I probably wouldn't actually because I like wide receivers too much, but I could make a case for taking James Conner over Julio Jones. But in this type of league, because you don't want to take James Conner over Julio Jones, and then it actually is Jalen Samuels getting more work than we expected, and suddenly James, you know, you're getting eliminated, or you maybe eke by week one, but you're thinking like, man, my team's not going to be very good now. So, you know, you just want to survive the first couple weeks, see where your team is at, grab those studs when they become available.
Sounds good. I'll tell you, anything goes in these leagues. Do not get your hopes up even after the draft, because one that I was in last year, it was kind of a semi-expert league. After 2 weeks, I was the high scorer, right? Both times, dominating. And then in week three, somebody got hurt. Can't remember who it was. And then by week five, I was eliminated because that was the week of, it was probably a little bit later than week five. But do you remember the week where Melvin Gordon was questionable to play in London and he was game time decision and he wound up not playing at all? Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon was my player. I had him in my starting lineup, so he gave me nothing. I had some other player who was on a bye. Some player was hurt. So I went from first place to eliminated just like that.
Fast.
You never know. You never know what can happen. But hopefully we helped you guys out a little bit with the strategy. If you haven't tried one out, you should. You don't have to get on and pay big money to do these leagues. You can start one up yourself, right, through Yahoo or whatever else, you know, do these settings. But it's fun. It's different. Former fantasy football. We're fans of all types of fantasy football here. So might be doing some more strategy on this throughout the season. Check out rotoballer.com, of course, for articles and analysis on every type of fantasy football imaginable. I don't know. Do we need to come out with guillotine rankings? Is that worth a separate
mention? Oh, man.
Is that a little too far? A little too far. Okay.
A little too much, I think. A little too much.
Too much. Yeah. That probably shouldn't be that different. All right, guys. Thanks for checking us out.